Why are you laughing?
When did you get old, my nigga? Like, what is happening? You got up like,
Yes. Mic check, 1, 2.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Hi, you guys. My name is Dudney, and welcome to another episode of Aggressive Negress. Yay! Where we'll be transgressing on today's taboo topics involving empowerment, gender, race, relationships, and a whole lot more, all through the lens of pop culture. If you've ever been to a house party, people sometimes congregate in the kitchen to chat, so grab your solo cup and let's talk. So I'm so excited for today's episode. I could, you know, barely contain myself here. It's just, I'm just really in that mood right now. So I'm in Atlanta for a few days. And coming up in a segment I'm starting to call Story Time, where I basically share with you guys some of the kooky, crazy, fucked up shit that ends up happening to me that I also find fucking hilarious. But anyways, in that segment I have a quick story about how only I can overcomplicate something as simple as getting to the airport. But that's nowhere near even the best part. You guys, not only am I recording this on the road, but I've got Aggressive Negress's very first guest. Yay! She's a very good friend. I don't even know what that noise was, to be honest with you. She's a very good friend of mine. We go back like spinal cords and car seats. She's also the CEO of a soap company based here in Atlanta that specializes in all natural and organic handmade soaps. Welcome to the show, Shari Griffin.
Hey guys, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
Hey, that's right. So I wanted to make the theme of today's episode, you know, about finance and business, which, you know, high key is perfect for you, you know, Shari, since you're someone who I, you know, respect very much for your enterprising perspective on life and how that's led you through many different entrepreneurial endeavors, the latest of which is Soaps Atlanta. But do you want to tell us a little bit more about that, how you kind of reached your point of success here?
Yeah, sure. I guess we can start when I moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I was I previously had a business in New York, mm-hmm, called Cake and Wings. It was a catering company with me and my best friend.
I love cake. Could you talk about Cake and Wings before you get into before you get into Soaps Atlanta? I don't know where Cake and Wings is right now, but like,
Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay, go.
Cake and Wings was a concept that me and my best friend came up with in high school. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it. I made really good wings and she made really good cake. And so we just decided to put it together and call it Cake and Wings. And we turned, mm-hmm, it into a catering company. Mm-hmm. And we did it for about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of... In New York, there's a lot of red tape when, mm-hmm, it comes to, mm-hmm, starting a business, especially a food business. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that she and I were prepared to... We just weren't prepared to do it at, mm-hmm, that time. Mm-hmm. Also, it was really hard to get support in New York from, mm-hmm, family. Our, mm-hmm, friends were really supportive, but the family part, it was tough. So it didn't quite work, but it was a really great concept. We enjoyed doing it.
Right.
It may come back. You never know. I mean, Cake and Wings might make a return, but I eventually left New York. Mm-hmm. I left New York. Just wanted a new start. Needed a change. I got tired of the cold. It was just too much. My spirit couldn't take the cold anymore.
We are warm-blooded
Yeah.
creatures. We need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Caribbean. So,
Yeah.
you know. So I moved to Atlanta back in 2015. And I didn't know what I was gonna do, but I knew that I was gonna embark on a venture that would change my life. I knew that moving to Atlanta would be life-changing.
That's
I
dope.
came down initially to become a chef. You know, I love cooking. I enjoy cooking. I love being creative in the kitchen. And my goal was to learn as much about fine dining that I could. And so I started working in kitchens and some of the best kitchens here in Atlanta. I worked at Empire State South. I worked at Cast Iron right now. I'm cooking at Golden Eagle, so I still cook.
Right.
But as I was learning how to cook, one of my chefs, he made soaps. And I just found it so intriguing. I'm like, you make soaps? Like, how do you make soaps? He was like, it's not that different from cooking. If you find a recipe, it's oils, liquid, and a lye. It's really just three ingredients. You put it together however you want, and you make a soap. And so he brought me a book on soaps. And I read it cover to cover. A couple months
Wow.
later, I made my first batch of soap. It came out perfect. And it's actually the first recipe that I used is one of our best-selling soaps today,
Wow.
which is the chai tea soap.
Right.
And that was the
Okay.
first soap I ever made. The formula has changed a little bit because I learned more about oils over time. So I use better oils and I use more herbs, but that was the first soap I ever made, and now I make it today, and it's one of our best sellers.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just started making soaps, and at the time, I was looking for alternatives to the beauty bars that were on the market.
Okay.
Everyone was suggesting black soap to me, but black soap didn't work for me.
So you had something that you needed to take care of for your skin,
Yeah,
and you were
like
looking for a product that worked for you.
right.
Okay.
And I was breaking out and, you know, working in the kitchen, you have all types of oil and
Facts.
fats and grease and all types of stuff on your skin. So, and it's hot back there, you sweat, and you know, I started breaking out and I needed something to help me with my skin. Black soap wasn't it. And so I was like, you know, I know how to make soap, why don't I just come up with something for me? And so I did, and it worked. You know, my skin has been better ever since I started making my own soaps. So I said, you know what? Maybe I
This is an
can,
opportunity, maybe.
yeah,
Yeah, okay.
maybe I
So
can start selling my soaps.
you didn't jump into it like, oh, coworker at the restaurant gave you a book about soaps. How can I monetize this
No,
and,
it wasn't
make it an
like.
extra stream of revenue somehow, support myself?
No, I didn't consider it being a business until I came up with a recipe that worked.
Okay.
And it took me 2 years to find the recipe.
That's major.
Yeah, it took me 2 years to really find something that I liked
Right.
and that made my skin glow.
Tweaking
I
the
tweaked
amount,
it.
whatever. You don't need to tell me because
I tweaked the recipe. I experimented with different herbs, and because I'm a chef, it's something I enjoy. I enjoy working with different herbs and different oils. And at the time, I had discovered Dr. Sebi, and I learned about, he talks a lot about herbs as well. So I just started doing research on herbs and finding out which herbs were best for your skin. And so I put it in the soap. So yeah, it took me a while to come up with the recipe that I use today. Initially, it wasn't something that I wanted to sell. It was just something that I needed at the
That's
time.
right. That's
And
right.
I figured, well, if I needed it,
Some other people
some
might.
other people might need it too. And I actually came across a blogger and she was having issues with her skin, and I decided to, you know, tell her about the soaps that I've been using, and she bought a couple bars. And it worked for her, and she shared it with all her followers.
Wow.
And so that was kind of the beginning of, whoa, Maybe I really do have something here, because
Something.
I knew it worked for me,
Yeah.
but I wasn't 100% sure that it would work for other people.
Okay.
Once I realized it was working for other people, that's when I called up my friend and I was like, "Look, I need you to help me, because I have a soap. It's really good,
Yeah.
but I need help getting it out to people." And so that's how the business was started.
So if we could rewind it a little bit, when you reached out to the beauty blogger, right, the person was on social media, I'm
Yeah, on
assuming,
Instagram.
on Instagram, were you still thinking this is something for me, or were you looking at, the conversation that we had a little bit earlier today at brunch? And full disclosure, we've had a couple mimosas,
Just
and
a
should we shout out the West?
Oh, West Egg?
West
Yeah,
Egg
shout out to West
Cafe in
Egg.
Atlanta.
Very delicious food and really, really, really great mimosas.
But before you sort of reached out to her, or was the reason that you reached out sort of let me try to link up with an influencer, so to speak, to sort of get my product out there? This was still, I'm trying to make it work for me. Could it potentially work for you? You weren't even thinking beyond.
I wasn't thinking influencer. I
Okay.
was thinking, here's a sister
Yeah.
who is having issues with her skin, and I want to help
And you
her.
want to help. Okay.
Like, that's really all it was. Because I know what it's like to have acne, and it is almost debilitating. Like, you get depressed, you don't want to leave your house. Like, it's the worst. And your self-esteem, like, it suffers. So I just wanted to help. And she took it upon herself to say, "Yo, I found this soap." She tagged me,
Tag you,
because at
yeah.
the time there was no Soaps Atlanta. She just tagged me.
Got it. Your
And she was like,
personal,
"Yeah, my
yeah.
personal page." She
Yeah.
tagged me and was like, "She has these really great soaps. Y'all hit her up."
Did
And
you see an uptick in people hitting you up? Did it help? Yeah.
People started hitting me up. Not only that, but she had a she was putting together a beauty box. And she included me in the beauty box. So I was able to get the soaps out in that way as well, like just sort of a marketing,
Yeah.
like a way to market the
Of course,
soaps.
of course.
And so people were actually able to get it in their hands and try it for
Yep.
themselves and, see the results themselves. And
Right.
that's how I was able to get more following as well.
Well, to be fair, it sounds like you kind of fell into a partnership with an influencer. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I don't know, Kim Kardashian levels. Like, she's gonna post something and all of a sudden people want flat tummy tees or whatever it is, right? But you still connected with someone who had reached to other people and they were able to influence their behavior, which was to hit you up, DM you, and
And
inquire.
one thing, and her name is Elizabeth.
Yeah, shout her out.
Yeah, I need to
Absolutely.
shout her out. I need to find her Instagram name because it recently changed. But her name is Elizabeth, and she's one of, I don't even think she would consider herself an influencer. She just is passionate about healthy hair and healthy skin.
Okay.
So she doesn't, if it doesn't work for her and if she doesn't like it, she's not going to promote it. She doesn't care about the money. But if it does work, she'll let the world know. And that's one thing that I respect about her. A lot of influencers will take the money whether the product is good or not. And she only promotes black-owned businesses.
That's another major key.
So, that's another reason. Well, that's one of the reasons why I was following her in the first place. And I saw a sister that needed help, and I wanted to help, so I just sent her a bar.
Cool. Now, back to the business piece of it. What switched, what clicked when you realized you needed help with, the distribution, your partner that you called up?
Well, there's so much that goes into a business. It's not as simple as I have a product here, buy it.
Were the lessons that you learned in, back in New York when you started Cake, did that kind of play into, okay, this is what we went through when we were trying to build up Cake and Wings. I'm gonna do it a little differently with Soaps Atlanta.
Well, for one, with Cake and Wings, I had a built-in business partner. In this situation, I had to reach out to someone and present them with the idea. and kind of sell them on it. We were friends for a long time, so he knew me, but I didn't know whether he would want to go into business with me. So I had to like sell him on it. Like, look, I have these soaps. Here are the responses that I've been getting. You know, I showed him DMs from people saying your soaps are amazing. He was like, okay, wow, all right. So in that respect, it was a little different because I had to actually pitch it to him. He's a very successful business person. His time is very valuable. He'll make time for me because he loves me as a friend, but I still want to be respectful of his time. So I didn't want to come to him on some bullshit. I needed him to know that this is something that can be lucrative for the both of us and that is actually benefiting people. It's not just, I just want to make soap and I want to make some money. Like, we can actually help people with this. And he said, yeah, I'll help you. He's like, of course I'll help you. And he's an app developer. So it made sense for me to pair with someone who is knowledgeable about technology because the way business is now, you have to be knowledgeable about technology. Like,
It has to
because
be
it has to
incorporated
be
some
incorporated
way.
into your business. So our goal is to incorporate technology with beauty. And it didn't start out that way at first, but as the business is growing, that's kind of the direction that we're moving in. So yeah. And it wasn't like that with Cake and Wings. We didn't have Instagram. Well, Instagram was just coming out. Twitter was just coming out. We had Facebook, but Facebook and business wasn't really a thing back then.
Got
It
it.
is now.
I think it's almost in tandem where, you know, if you have a product or service, if you don't have any sort of footprint on these websites, Instagram, Facebook, you know, even Snapchat, if that's your target audience, then, you know, you're doing half of the work. There's a whole other piece that you're missing.
And I started everything on Instagram. Yeah, every bar that I've sold has been via Instagram.
Here's a question I have for you, because there was a point a few weeks ago, maybe even months, where Instagram shut down. Like, it just wasn't working for a while, and a lot of people were flipping out. Do you remember that? Did that, obviously it impacted you if that's one of your primary or maybe the only source that you work through. Did that almost tell you, okay, I need to, in some ways, diversify and find other avenues to reach my customers?
Well, that was always the
That was
plan.
always a plan,
That was
okay.
always the plan. So I keep all my information about my customers. I have all their information. So because I have a background in business, I know that Instagram isn't the end all be all. Like, if Instagram shuts down, I'll still know how to run my business. A lot of people, I don't think,
That's very,
So I wasn't really worried, but it did slow things down a little bit, of course. But I wasn't really concerned because I knew that if my customers really needed a way to contact me, they would.
And you'd be able to reach them
And
and
I'll be able to reach them as well.
I'd like to look at just almost taking a step back a little bit at running this business and how it's been different. I know you mentioned a little bit how it was different from running Cake and Wings because it was just a different time. But is there something where you can go, you know what, I've learned or I'm literally learning this as I go right now, and I would impart this wisdom to others who are trying to, you know, get something going and using social media platforms to as a conduit to get it started.
And this is just for me. When I started Cake and Wings, I put so much pressure on myself to grow a business into this like $1 million company.
You wanted to be what, the next
I
Oprah
wanted to be
if
like
you
the
could,
next Colonel.
right?
Like, I wanted to like have Cake and Wings in China. I was putting way too much pressure on myself. And I think that's another reason why the business didn't succeed the way it was supposed to, was because I got burnt out. So this time around, I'm taking my time. I'm more confident in my ability. A lot of things that I was doing with Cake and Wings was out of fear of failure,
Okay.
but I'm not afraid to fail this time around.
Yeah.
It's so many resources.
Yeah.
We have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have apps, there's so many things, so many tools available to help you grow a business that just were not available 10 years ago. Cake and Wings, I started it 10 years ago. Yeah, it just wasn't there. And moving to a city like Atlanta also made a difference. It's a different energy down here.
Okay.
No shade to New York, all
I was about to say,
right?
choose your words carefully because we are from the five boroughs, and I know
Listen,
you don't forget that.
listen.
And
All right, I had to
I
had to
get
adjust my seating just now because
into
I want to make this clear. No shade to New York,
absolutely not.
because we got a lot of support in New York. People love cake and wings, but it's almost like an extended family here in Atlanta. And you know, like when you're starting a business, you go to friends and family first.
Yeah.
That's what they teach you.
Right.
Go to friends and family. When you're in New York and your actual family is there, it's almost kind of limiting because there's but so many friends and family that's gonna help you.
Right.
But then when you're down in Atlanta and you have this whole extended friends and family that's willing to help you and support you and bring you in
Yeah.
and you know share their resources and spread the word. It's just
Right.
It's a different energy down here. It really like they foster a lot of entrepreneurship down here, as opposed to New York, where it's mostly go out and get that job.
And compete against the others who are trying to get the same job.
Drop right.
Yeah.
Right.
And may the best man win.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I wanna pause for a little bit and kind of take a quick break, because you mentioned something about friends and family, and I'm of Haitian descent. You're Caribbean descent as well from,
Guyana.
there you go. So we already have that similar upbringing, if you will, and I'd like to kind of chat a little bit about what that upbringing, how that shaped us.
Yes.
Into even thinking, how dare we, have the audacity to think of some as women, as black women, and so on and so forth. But let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Again, same as that last episode. Maybe there'll be some ads here, maybe there won't be, but we'll definitely be talking a little bit more with Shari and CEO of Soaps Atlanta here in just a bit. Be right back. All right, you guys, I am still here with Shari Griffith, CEO of Soaps Atlanta. And, we just wanted to kind of chat a little bit about our upbringing, how that kind of brought us to where we are today. And I was saying to her over the break, I grew up in a Haitian household, as you guys know. And one of the things that was always drilled in my mind was that I was going to school, supposed to get good grades, and ideally, it would be to ultimately become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. Those were, the professions that someone like me, first generation, born here in America, parents came over from Haiti. That meant that we had made it, or whatever they had sacrificed to come here, that meant that, it wasn't in vain. And those weren't any of my particular interests, and I tried to make it work. I was an engineering major. It was something I did in high school where I had to declare that major, and then also did it in college. It wasn't for me, and I didn't get that until after 2 full years of college. Wasted student loans, the whole nine, when I could have been doing something else. And I think you said, it was similar with you as well.
Right. I grew up in a Guyanese household, and their main thing was, you know, you were either a nurse, a teacher, or a cop. Those are the three professions that, you know, you were considered doing well in life.
Yeah.
Later on, it was the MTA. If you got a job with the MTA, you was you was straight.
That pension is nothing to laugh at. Nothing right. to shake your head at, though. But yeah, I hear you.
But I never envisioned myself in any of those roles, you know? Mm-hmm. At first, I wanted to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a psychologist. But as I grew older, I was like, well, I want to own my own business. Mm. I know I don't want to work for nobody. So I wanted to be a businesswoman, and I always had a vision of myself in a power suit with a suitcase and walking with my heels and my frappuccino.
Doing the damn thing.
It wasn't until when we worked at DCI.
Okay.
We worked at DCI together. I realized
this was this is how Sherry and I met, actually. I think I started there in 07. You might have been there a little bit before
like a couple months. Yeah.
So ultimately, guys, what we're talking about is my first job out of college.
And my first job out of college. Yeah. My first official, like, big girl job.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Out of college.
So I think I saw you, like, at my intro, you know, welcome to the company, everyone. This is my name. This is where I'm from. And then I think I saw you at my thing, and we just, you know, that eye contact, that black women
that black
made.
People do, like, I see you, girl. We gonna chat a little later.
And legit have been, like, tight ever since.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
But that job at DCI was my way in to be that girl in the power suit with the suitcase, the briefcase and the frappuccino and the heels. But I got into it, and I was like, this is not for me. I'm not that girl. I like to wear sweats all day and t-shirts and jeans and chucks. So I needed to find a life that would allow me to wear my sweats and t-shirts and jeans chucks. And chucks. And it wasn't working in a corporate environment. And, I mean, on top of that, like, my soul just wasn't into it. Like, I felt like I couldn't be myself in that environment. So I realized later, I was probably, 23 when I realized that, which is pretty, I don't know if that's late or early in life to realize what you don't want to do.
I think it's on time. It's whatever you do, whenever you do it, it's on time.
Yeah. I knew I had a passion for food and I wanted to do any type of business related to food. So I got jobs at restaurants to learn the industry. And that's what led me to Atlanta. I wanted to cook.
Right.
I realized I wanted to cook. I worked front of the house. I did management because that's what my degree is in.
Yeah.
I have a degree in business management. So I did management. I was like, this is cool, but I want to cook. Like, I want to be where the action's at. And so that's why I moved down to Atlanta. So.
And you mentioned a little bit about your extended family here in Atlanta that wasn't so prevalent in back in New York. Can you speak a little bit more about, because and the reason why I bring that up is because, again, knowing for me personally, when the day I came home and I said, you know what, to my parents, I've always been an engineering major and have been doing this in college, but I'm switching it up, and you know, it's just my decision. And something I'm doing for me, that was sort of met with, well,
I can imagine.
Squeeze me? And I think the fact that they weren't paying for it at the time, you know, you sort of were able to walk into a financial aid office and be like, I need a loan. You know, it's terrible. And I think they caught on to that nowadays. But, you know, I need a loan for next semester. And they'd be like, cool, here's a check or whatever. Or it's going straight to... So the tuition wasn't being paid for by them. So it wasn't really their place to say no, yes, do that, don't do that, but it was more like, hey, this is what I'm doing, and that was like, you're bugging. Get your shit together, like, what the, you know what I mean? So, but it was something that I think I just ultimately said, I need to do this, I need to figure out something, because engineering isn't it. So that support was I was still in school. I was still in college, but it wasn't that steadfast. You find what makes you happy. You do, what it is that you think you need to do, and that kind of shaped my way of thinking up until now. Really, even just starting this podcast was something that I said it's something that I'm interested in. And I don't do it like you did for 2 years with soaps and lamps. I'm not doing it for money, fame, or whatever else it could. I'm just doing it because it's something I would like to do. And if it takes off, then great. If not, then that's fine too, because my heart and soul is in it. And I think that if I were to, go back and be like, "Hey, mom, dad, this is what I'm doing. I got a podcast," but that's like all I'm doing right now, they would probably flip their shit. And it's something that I'm even almost thinking, like, I can't take that bet on myself because I still have that mentality. I could do something like this, even though it took me this long to do it. But in the back of my head, I still have plan B. Like, I'm not letting go of my 9 to 5. I don't think I'd ever let go of my 9 to 5, and that's always going to be important. But sometimes there's a moment where you need to take that leap of faith and do, what it is, whatever it is that you want to do, and know that that will take off. I'm not there yet, I don't think, but I feel like you have been there. You've moved past there, and I don't know if it was just a different set of support around you that kind of lifted you through it. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can speak on that a little bit.
It absolutely was. I remember when I started Cake and Wings, there was a family member who called me lazy because I didn't want to get a job. And I mean, I can't, like, I'm not mad at her, I don't hate her, but to be called lazy because I wanted to run my own business, it just didn't make sense to me. Like, it's like, do you know how much work goes into running your own business?
What are you talking
And
about?
so and I hate to admit it, but that was another reason why I had to leave New York, because I don't want to be around any kind of negativity. I didn't know what I was going to be met with here in Atlanta, but I knew that I would be around my people for the most part. It was a black city. But I also think that me being in the restaurant industry and Atlanta restaurant scene being so small and close-knit, that because I kind of started there, and everyone was so supportive of me learning how to become a chef, that when I was learning how to be how to be a soapist, I don't know what the term is, but when I was learning how to make soaps and I wanted to sell soaps, they were still supportive. We're so close-knit. We all like still keep in contact with each other, even though we don't work together anymore. But there's still that support, and everybody wants to see the other person grow. So even though I'm still in the food industry, I still cook, but I also have this other venture on the side that they're still very proud of that I'm pursuing. So I still get the support. I have chefs who want to carry my soaps in their restaurants, which I'm working on. Some of my old chefs purchase soaps. They've had me come to the restaurant to sell my soaps to, people, people walking by, or if they have like little pop-up shops, they'll have me come sell my soaps. Like, I'm always included and I'm always brought in to, continue to help my business grow. I did not receive that kind of support in New
When you
York.
were
It
in
was
New York,
always me and Katrina trying to go out and find customers. There weren't many people saying, come to this event, come to this event, come
I
here,
got
I
you.
got you here, sell your cake and wings here. With the exception of our old principal, Dr. Hodge. He was one of the most supportive people.
What school is this
May he
now?
rest in peace.
Oh,
Frederick Douglass Academy.
Frederick
Douglass
Douglass.
Academy in
Yeah,
Harlem.
Harlem.
Yeah, Dr. Hodge was super supportive. Like, he was instrumental in getting us off the ground.
That's amazing.
But I mean, I came down to Atlanta, there were like 10 Dr.
Everyone was,
Hodges.
And condolences. I'm sorry, he passed.
Yeah, he passed away a couple months ago, actually.
Wow, that's terrible. That's a pillar in the community. You, I think, just by the way you're speaking about him, it seems like that was a driving force to just even.
Yeah, he loved us.
That's great. That's great. Shout out to Frederick Douglass Academy. I think I remember we played ball up there when I was in high school. Did the courts have double rims? Do you remember that at all?
I do not know. You're asking the wrong person.
I think that's what I remember most. If we're talking about the same, double rims are notorious in the New York City basketball scene for just fucking up your jump shot. But you know, speaking of high school and the academics, the education behind this as well, something we actually chatted about earlier today, just taking the young people as they come up and shaping their minds on the things that are important, financial wellness, financial health, the things that I've never learned.
I didn't learn either.
To what? Balance a checkbook and what are interest... I mean, yes, we calculated interest rates, but like, what are they for? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, how does this work for, you know, credit, my credit? You know what I mean? Like,
what is credit?
What is, how can
what
I get?
What does it mean?
Yes. What does that mean for me? And I didn't get that from my parents either.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I didn't really learn about credit and debt and interest rates.
And debt.
Until I was already $30,000 in debt.
Facts.
And I had to figure it out on my own.
Yep.
Yeah, my mom didn't have the answers. I had to go do the research myself and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while. Yeah. I made a lot of financial mistakes in my 20s that I'm now recovering from in my 30s.
Speak on that. Let's jump into it a little bit.
Well, let's see. We can start with the student loans.
Okay. We can absolutely start. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, right?
Yeah.
I think it was that simple for me. You know, school's about to start. I don't know. I went to the University of New Haven in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Walked into the financial aid office and what was my bill? Oh, it's 30 something, or, you know, the 1 year I lost my scholarship because I didn't keep my GPA. It was the whole thing. Sometimes it was half of it, about 15,000 to 17,000. But it was as simple as walked up into the financial aid office. How much do I need? What's my bill? What's my balance? All right, sign up for this loan, pay it off, excuse me, it wasn't getting paid off then. It was just sign up for it, get the money. They transfer the money to the school. My balance to the school is zeroed out. They're good. They got their money. Now I owe, you know,
it is
Sally Mae.
It is. In
and it was as simple as that.
It is the most trifling thing you can do to an 18-year-old. To an 18 to 22 year old, it is the most trifling thing you can do. Just give them money and have them feeling like, you know, we have this money available for you. Take advantage.
Yeah.
It's here for you. You can get it within a day.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it until you graduate.
And
in your mind, graduation.
It's like 4 or 5.
That's so far away. Yep. Of course, I'm going to get a job.
Yep.
I'll be fine. I can pay this off, no problem.
Sometimes you get even a refund check from that from that money. So you walking around with coins in your pocket feeling real grown.
At 19, 20.
Yeah, like that's not your money, sweetie.
Right. And nobody ever explains it to you that way.
Yeah.
And so you're left with a ton of debt just out of school.
Yep.
You're still figuring your shit out.
Yep.
Whether you have a job or not,
that bill's coming.
That bill is coming.
Yeah, 6 months or something.
Imagine the stress and anxiety associated with having to pay back these loans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still paying back my loans. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Because that is an amazing feat, the fact that you've been able to pay off your student loans. Congratulations to anybody who's also done that.
Absolutely. Sally Mae is out of my life. I used to say all the time, if Sally Mae was an actual person, manifested into an actual person, that bitch would get it on site. You know what I'm saying? Like, on site. Like, in its truest form. I don't care what I'm doing. There goes Sally Mae right there, bitch.
Oh, she getting jumped. If I'm with you, I'm jumping in.
And that's
she
the hate.
She getting Molly Rock. Yes. Yes.
That's the hate that I think we and anyone in, you know, of our generation, even...
It's like an epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of debt that that we have is ridiculous, and the student loan debt is the
I
absolute
think,
worst.
yeah, number okay, don't quote me, but I feel like it's one definitely top three of the types of debt that people our age
Yeah,
have.
I want to say it's student loans, credit card,
Credit card is
and
definitely
like
in there.
medical
Yeah,
bills and
for
shit.
sure. For sure. But yeah, no, I mean, my parents weren't able to point me in any which way direction in sort of
Yeah.
doing this. And I try to do this with my sister as well. She's just a freshman in college, just sort of impart that wisdom.
Yeah,
When
as
my,
early as
as early as
possible.
possible. Yeah, when my brother was going to school, he's 27, 28 right now. But like, they had just started cracking down on how they give these kids loans. So he wasn't able to get them as easily as I was. I sort of did a little bit of
Okay.
reform, if you will. Still there, but
Yeah, I think it's important to educate
yeah.
our children on financial wealth as early
Early as
as possible.
possible,
I'm
yeah.
talking about like age 4, age 5.
It should be in the curriculum. I mean, yes,
I
obviously,
agree.
parents, you know, it is your responsibility. Your child should know the value of a dollar, but I mean, as we were saying earlier, I don't need to know the particulars about the Battle of 1812, who
Yeah,
won.
it absolutely does not matter
Yeah,
in
let
the real
me
world.
yeah, let me know about interest rates and, you know,
Yeah.
how I can have my money make money for me, you know what I mean?
Right.
And retirement and things to just financial
Right. It
security.
shouldn't be limited to just, college years. We
No.
should at least be learning it pre-college so that you're prepared when you're out of college.
You're just executing at that point. You've
Yeah.
learned as opposed to now you're learning and tripping
Yeah.
over, you know, mistakes and things of that
Yeah,
nature as you
you're
get to improve.
learning as you already have the debt instead of trying to avoid the debt to begin with.
Absolutely. So,
It's
well,
like cancer.
wow, that's
And I'm gonna explain
okay.
how.
It's got serious
I feel
real
like
quick.
no one talks about how to prevent cancer. They just are trying to find a cure, but they're not talking about eating healthy, working out, making sure your pH is at the right levels, because cancer can't survive in an alkaline environment. So, yeah, it's all about preventing the bad things
Being
from
proactive.
being proactive about, being healthy financially and, physically.
Physically, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So student loans, I think that's number one. What other mistakes did you kind of stumble into kind of coming through this?
Oh my God. So, this was so stupid. And I mean, I'm not paying for it anymore, but I took
I think I know what you're about to go ahead.
what?
I feel like I know what you're about to say.
I took money from student loans. I took the cash because I had a scholarship. So, I took the student loans that I applied for that I didn't need for school. But I took it and I put a down payment on a car. So now I'm paying interest on top of interest. I'm
Twice.
paying interest twice. Girl, listen. If there's any financial mistake out there, I've made it. I've made it. Yeah.
No, I look, it's I think that the best that you can do these days is just to empower yourself with as much information as possible. You know, read the books, read the blogs, just, you know, you don't have to be some savvy person who's on the stock market, like, yeah, long that, you know, short this stock, you know, it doesn't
Yeah.
have to be that involved. But if you just seek to understand how you could put yourself in a better position, and it could be you're coming from, you're playing, you know, playing the game from the back. You made some mistakes already, and you're just trying to get to a good place. That's okay.
It's never too late
Never
to
too
get your
late.
finances in order because there's so much money to be made out here
Absolutely.
and so many avenues you can go. I also think like us as a community, we've been blocked out of a lot of information when it comes to finance. I think our people, we know how to spend money, but some of us have a hard time knowing how to make it and making it work for us. We work just to pay bills, and that's not the way life is supposed to
I
be.
agree. I agree. One of the best decisions I made was to seek out the help of a financial planner. And think about things like retirement as early as my late 20s. Put a little bit away where it's not like dinging you so much where it feels like you are paying a car payment or a house payment or rent or whatever. It's just a little bit at a time that you start early enough, consistently pay it, and over time you have a you're in a position where you can retire the at the age you want to retire at, and then you have the money
To
that you
sustain
can to
yourself.
sustain yourself and live comfortably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 401ks, I think a lot of people sneeze at that, and it's so critical, especially if your company is matching. If you've got that those matching dollars, it's essentially free money. You put in money, they put in money. They don't have to do that. I've been at companies, I think, you know, one of the one we worked at DCI, they didn't match, and it was just kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, they were a smaller, you know, smaller shop, but still. If you have that opportunity, but you have to even know those opportunities exist, and then you
Exist,
also have to
yeah.
know it's something that you should want to jump on. Like, you know what I
And
mean?
it's something that you should take seriously.
It's serious as
Like,
well, yeah. You might not even be thinking, oh, it's not, I don't even need that
yeah,
right now. You
you
should,
should
yeah.
as early as possible.
Yeah.
And to that, if you can't even afford a financial planner,
Yeah.
there are apps out there like Stash.
Absolutely.
Stash has a retirement option where you can start investing in your retirement fund through an app. You put a little bit in every week or every month or every couple weeks, and you can start with that. You can start small and
Yeah.
then maybe move up to a financial
Absolutely.
planner. You
Absolutely.
know, there's always a way to start, and you
Yeah.
can always start small,
Yeah.
but the key is
That you start.
that you start.
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent point. There's like the financial aspect of it shouldn't be a barrier. Oh, I can't afford a
Yeah.
financial. No, you don't have to start there. You can, you know, use an app and pay it
Yeah.
in little by little, but as long as you're doing it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Any other mistakes that you can think of from the business standpoint?
Oh God. Okay. Let's see. Well, one thing that I've never done is I've never taken out a business loan.
Okay.
For both of the businesses, I started from scratch.
Okay.
So I took my own money. And I bought my own supplies and I just started from there and I just grew. So if you feel like you need a bunch of money to start, you don't. You really just need, you again, you just need to start and just grow from there.
Is it, in your opinion, do you think it's a better deal if it's your money that's invested and tied into it? Meaning, if you've got savings that you saved up, 20,000 or whatever, you've taken 10, 15 of that to start your business, because that's sink or swim. You're doing this, or you know, you lost. I think most people look at it as I don't want to risk so much
There's
in the
always
beginning.
going to be some kind of risk
Yeah.
involved. It depends on the business.
I think so,
It
yeah.
depends on the
How
business
much capital you
because,
need.
yeah,
Yeah.
because if you're wanting to open up a restaurant, you're not going to want to put all of your money into a restaurant because
Right.
restaurants are extremely risky.
Right.
I started a catering company, not that much risk. I'm starting a soap company, not that much risk. So it depends on what you plan on diving into, but it depends on the person,
Yeah.
whether you're gutsy, whether you have the resources to ask family and friends for
Right,
loans.
right,
Jeff Bezos,
right.
the owner of Amazon,
CEO of Amazon, yep.
his parents gave him 300,000. That means they had a million stashed away somewhere where they could give him 300,000. That wasn't a risk for them. If I had 300,000 and it was all I had,
Yeah.
that means I really got 50,000 to put into a business,
Gotcha.
you know? So you
Gotcha.
kind of have to look at it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So I also want to talk about, so you mentioned earlier that, you know, you moved to Atlanta, you created a family, almost a village that supported you. And I know sometimes, even looking at it from the granular level of women kind of being there for each other, and not the sort of tearing another woman down for whatever reason, especially, the whole crabs in a barrel and the what are you doing right now? Like, she's doing a whole Beyonce homecoming dance move.
Okay, so me and Denny worked out today for like
We did.
2.5 hours.
We did.
And I'm in pain right now. I need to like stretch and lay down or something.
She's like, okay, ladies, now let's get it for me. Like, she's doing this whole dance
routine. I'm feeling it right now.
Feeling myself. Feeling my okay, oh, I feel you. Just the support of other people. Yeah. And I know you mentioned there was a woman who was the one who added, she used your Instagram name, added you on the gram.
Yeah, and her name is, just so you guys know, her name is lovelightliz__. So make sure you guys follow her. She's a beautiful young lady. She's studying to become a lawyer. And in the midst, she blogs about healthy hair and healthy skin and beauty. And she supports Black-owned businesses.
I love that. Love Light. So that's LoveLightLiz, and then 2__.
Yeah.
Love Light Liz. Yeah, y'all.
Yeah.
Reach out.
So
follow.
She's been really supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had an issue with my peers, like other women being supportive of me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Soaps Atlanta, mm-hmm. I would say 99% of my clients are women.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know why guys aren't buying soap. It's I don't get it.
Untapped potential, maybe?
I don't know. Fellas, why y'all not buying soap?
Y'all have skin.
Y'all got skin too. All right, maybe I have to figure something out. But yeah, so I've gotten a lot of support from women,
mm-hmm.
especially with Soaps Atlanta. So it hasn't really been an issue for me per se.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you saw that extend to, as you mentioned, your like sort of village here, mm-hmm. in Atlanta that helped you, within the community of the restaurant business, folks were able to point you in different directions,
right.
where you needed to be and who you needed to know, and it was helpful in that sense.
Right, absolutely. We're very close-knit in the Atlanta food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody pretty much knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing something, like some chefs will have like a pop-up, we're supportive of each other. We'll show up, pay our money, and show our support. My friend Maricela, she's the executive chef over at Adom right now. She ventured out on her own a couple years ago, and we started off together, being line cooks,
mm-hmm.
and now she's exec chef within a couple years.
That's
and it's
amazing.
Because people in the industry have lifted her up.
Yeah,
I've been super supportive of her.
Yeah.
Local farmers, she's supportive of them.
Yep.
They're supportive of her. She knows a lot of people, and on top of that, she's a super talented chef.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd be helpful. If you don't mind, you also have that.
Yeah, she also has talent.
Yeah.
And we support talent and passion. That's really all it is.
Cool. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, I think I'd written a note here about how we, looking at the two females who, or even when we were coming up, it was like Foxy or Kim, right? Foxy Brown or Little Kim. Nowadays, it's like Nicki, Nicki Minaj or Cardi B. Like, why does it have to be one or the other? Like, we can't, you don't have to tear one down in order to build another one up.
There's room for everybody.
There's room for more than just two, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone can eat.
I don't understand the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the issue there. I don't understand where the beef is from, mm-hmm. is coming from. They're both talented. But also, I think the music industry is different.
It's different, yeah. Yeah.
So I think everybody kind of sort of has their reign. Like, Kim had her reign.
Mm-hmm.
Nicki had her reign. Cardi is in the midst of her reign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, in another 9-10 years, there'll be another
dope-ass person,
female rapper to come up. I wish there were more.
Absolutely.
We had, 30 R&B groups back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than that. And they were all nice.
Yeah. Yep.
So why can't it be the same for female rap?
It is a different you're right. It's a different beast, different animal, as far as the music industry is concerned. I can't even start to say I'm well versed in that, but it just speaks to that overarching, like, why does it have to be one or the other? You know what I mean? Like, you're both dope.
And there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, take Rihanna for instance. There are like 500 makeup lines out there, but that didn't stop her from coming out with a makeup line, and she's successful at it, successful as fuck. So don't let the fact that somebody else is doing it stop you from doing it, you know?
Absolutely. On that note, it's great imparting wisdom there. I think we definitely chatted about a lot of different aspects involving financial health and wealth, business. Shari, thank you for being my guest
No
today.
problem. Thank you for having me. It's been an
Absolutely.
honor to be your first guest. That is crazy. In 20 years, right?
Yeah.
There's gonna be a documentary about aggressive Negress,
Yeah.
and they're gonna talk about, the first time she had a guest was Sherri Griffin from
Yeah.
South Atlanta.
Absolutely.
That's just gonna happen.
It will. From your mouth to God's ears,
That's
sis.
right.
So, speaking of South Atlanta, tell the people where they can find you, man.
Okay, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, Soaps Atlanta. You can place all your orders on Instagram or Facebook. You can just DM us and we'll take your order there and we ship out within 5 to 7 business days. You can, browse our page and see what soaps we have available and you can ask whatever questions you like. We're here to answer any questions you have. And yeah, we'll just take it from there.
Cool. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, honey, thank you.
had to get the last word.
No,
But thank you,
I
though.
appreciate it.
But thank
And you
you.
look good, sis.
Thank you.
Yeah, crazy thing at the gym this morning, Shari was pushing me, and I go to the gym quite often. You've seen probably some of my Instagram posts, and Shari's like, "You can do more. Put some more weight on that." I'm like, "You bugging me? I got a system." She's like, "Yeah, fuck that. Fuck your little app, whatever you using. You know what I mean? Throw an extra 5 weight on this side, an extra."
Push yourself. That's not, I want to be strong. So I always push myself because that's the only way.
I appreciate that. It literally was like, okay, just
And like you don't even
I
realize,
don't.
like, oh shit, I didn't know I could do that.
How many times did that happen today?
Yeah.
All right. Look at me go. Throw the 45 plates on there. Why not? So no, I definitely appreciate you. You know I love you to death.
No problem. I love you too.
All right, you guys. After we'll go into another quick break. We'll get into a little bit of segment. Again, the story time segment. I think I've got a nice one for you guys about just me even getting here. It almost didn't happen. But here I am nonetheless. And yeah, we'll be right back. Aggressive Negress is sponsored by Soaps Atlanta. Soaps Atlanta specializes in making small batch, natural, and organic handmade soaps. That means every bar is made with care and with special attention to using only high quality and natural ingredients. No machines and no chemicals. Seriously, you guys, Soaps Atlanta has a passion for using high quality and even more importantly, locally sourced ingredients. From where? You guessed it, right in Atlanta. Yep, ATL, stand up. Check this out, right? They use organic coconut oil and a specially made chai tea blend right from DeKalb's Farmers Market, whose roots run deep as a fresh fruit distributor right in Decatur. Other healing ingredients include organic Irish sea moss, turmeric, activated charcoal, aloe vera, and shea butter. Look, Simply put, the difference between Soaps Atlanta products and others out there is that while other soaps strip the skin, leaving it dry and depleted, Soaps Atlanta soaps add the essential nutrients back into the skin, leaving it clean and replenished. The cool thing about it is that your skin is being treated throughout the entire day, long after you've used it. Now, you know I wouldn't hold out on you guys, so here's what I can do. Right now, Aggressive Negress listeners will receive a 20% discount on all orders. All you have to do is use code ANEGRESS20. That's ANEGRESS20. Head over to the Soaps Atlanta Instagram page at Soaps Atlanta to place your order. I suggest you try my personal favorite, the Lavender Chai Tea Cleansing Bar. It just so happens to be their bestseller as well. It's available in both scented and unscented, and it's amazing for acne, dark spots, and hyperpigmentation. You guys, people have seen significant results with the Lavender Chai Tea Cleansing Bar in just 1 week. Soaps Atlanta accepts Venmo and Cash App, and shipping is a flat fee of $5. So whether you order one soap or 50 soaps, shipping costs will remain the same. So don't wait. Go to @SoapsAtlanta on Instagram and use the code ANEGRESS20. Again, that's ANEGRESS20 for 20% off on all orders. Do it now. Like right now. Like right now, because this offer ends on June 15, 2019. Please allow 5 to 7 days for shipping. Soaps Atlanta, where you can enjoy the high quality soaps you deserve today. Story time. I'm gonna have to work on that, but all right, so boom. I had an early morning Delta flight into Atlanta, right? 8:05 a.m. is when the flight's supposed to leave. I checked in the night before. I had my mobile boarding pass ready to go. I happen to live close to the airport, so I rarely leave the time when most people, you know, would leave to get to the airport and catch any flight. As if I'm flying, I'm usually cutting it really close. And I always end up packing the morning of. That's also me. I'm a last minute packer. But, you know, for this go round, I was just going to bring a carry-on on this particular flight. So I knew that, you know, that would save me some time as well. And on top of that, I always park my car at the hotels that are around the airport and just jump on, you know, the shuttle that they have. These shuttles, you know, depending on where I park, you give it every 15, maybe 30 minutes. So I was hoping to time it just right and leave my house at 6:30. So bad. I'm in my house packing and shit, trying to figure out, you know, the least number of shoes to bring that will work for my work clothes, my gym clothes, my going out clothes, my brunch clothes, etc., etc. Next thing I know, I look up, it's 6:11. Y'all, I hadn't even showered or anything. You know what I'm saying? So fast forward, I get to doing what I need to do. I walk out of my house at 6:45. This is even late for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was kind of bugging out a little bit. So I'm legit doing like a buck on the highway trying to get to the hotel. And again, Newark is just across the way. The airport is just across the way. So on a regular day, it's about a 15-minute drive. I drive by the hotel in under 10 minutes. Hear me when I say I drove by that bitch, because that's exactly what the fuck happened. In my anxious mind, I jumped into the express lane so that I had more space, you know what I'm saying, to speed and get around. The trucks can't be in the express lane, so it's just cars. Only it occurred to me as I was driving by that I needed to be in the local lanes in order to be able to make that turn into the hotel's parking lot. And that was the one time I didn't use Waze. You know, I just knew how to get there. But then I fucked up and missed a critical piece of how to actually arrive at the hotel. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm like, fuck it. Let me just exit into the airport and then, you know, from there, come back around. What I didn't realize is that in order to exit the airport, you pretty much have to go all the way around that bitch, the entire perimeter of the fucking airport. So I'm literally at the airport. I'm at my exact terminal looking at the people working the check-in counter where I need to be for a flight leaving in less than an hour. And I'm literally driving past all that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Anybody who knows me, I'm not easily rattled, but my anxiety levels were creeping the fuck up by the second, just inching higher and higher. I'm literally getting flashbacks to that one time I almost made my friend miss her flight to DR. We were going to the Dominican Republic. She was the maid of honor for my other friend's wedding, had a whole suitcase full of like super important wedding shit. Anyways, I finally get out of the airport. I'm back on the highway in the local lane. And fuck me in the ass with no lube. I miss the exit. I miss the exit that I would have needed to turn into the hotel. And let me tell you something. You ever been on the highway and you see somebody with their hazards on driving in reverse? Because they had just missed their exit? Yeah, that was me. Because I was like, fuck this. I cannot afford to go back around. I just simply cannot. So, you know, reverse out that bitch. Whatever, it was fine. I finally get to the hotel. It's like 7:10. They tell me, oh, okay, well, you know, this next shuttle leaves in 5 minutes. So I'm like, okay. Do I take the 7:15, possibly end up dropping other people off who are in the shuttle with me at various terminals that aren't even mine, you know what I'm saying, before they get to me? It's a shuttle service for everyone. It's not my personal service. You know, that surely will eat up time. I'm thinking, can't risk it. I'm calling a Lyft. Get on the Lyft app. The nearest one was 9 minutes out. So I'm like, fuck. At this point, the shuttle fitting to leave, and I'd rather take my chances with that. So I'm on the shuttle. My man's is, you know, taking his sweet time. He's back there rearranging everyone's luggage, putting gas in the tank, building a fucking doghouse. I don't know what the fuck he's doing back there. He's just banging some shit around. And I'm sitting in my seat like, oh my God, if he don't come the fuck on. But he gets in the driver's seat, finally takes off. Boom. I, at that point, turn around and ask everybody in the shuttle, hey, what terminal y'all going to? Because I need to get to my terminal. And, you know, I just wanted to figure out where was he going first. Turns out, he was going to my terminal first. So it worked out in that regard. So, phew, thank you. Because, you know, if it wasn't, I'd be like, yo, do y'all mind if we hit my joint first? Because I need to go. So we get to the airport or whatever. We at my terminal. I grab my luggage from him. I am just, fuck the tip. I need to go. You know, I'm fast walking on my way to security. Luckily, there aren't that many people on the line. So I'm like, okay, I'm all right. I'm kind of all right with my life choices at this point. A few minutes after that, this woman taps me on my shoulder. She's like, hey, excuse me. Do you mind if I jump ahead of you because my flight is boarding? And I looked at her down in her face. I'm like, yeah, I do mind. I got to go someplace too. Shit, what the fuck? But she's like, you know, please, 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 I really need to get to the gate. And something in my head clicks. I'm like, hold on. Are you on the 805 to Atlanta? She goes, yeah, I am. I'm like, well, hey, me too. And in my head, I'm thinking, if you think it's serious enough to start asking people in the line, can you jump? then we need to start asking people in the line to jump. We in this bitch together. So now we both tapping on other people's shoulder. Like, oh, excuse me, can we get in line? And finally, you know, because it got to being a little too much, you tapping everybody one by one. Finally, I'm like, yo, real quick, let me make a quick announcement to the whole line. You know, we need to get ahead of all of y'all. And, you know, we end up jumping a few people. There was a woman with like two small kids and a stroller. There was an older dude. He had like a walker, you know, he was like getting assistance to get to the front. Another dude in a wheelchair and all that shit. But we jumped in front of all of them, niggas, like all of them. And no, I don't feel bad because all those people would have taken forever. So, you know, me and old girl, we simply didn't have the time for all that foolishness. So, sorry. You know, so we get to the actual gate. You know, I walked after I got through security. I was walking, you know, there. Next thing I feel is like a wind or like a rush of a person running past me. Old girl was running to the gate. And lo and behold, they had just started boarding first class. Like, literally just started boarding first class passengers. So, you know, we had the time. I knew we had the time. You know what I'm saying? I just got amped because she got amped. We just put a battery in both our backs. But my immediate thought when I saw that, I was like, fucking first class? I have at least a boarding group or two before they call me. And, you know, my immediate thought was, man, I could have fucking stopped for a bacon, egg, and cheese before I got here. Got some fucking breakfast or some shit. Bitch is starving. Running to get this goddamn flight. Hungry in a mug. But I made it. I did. I made it. And thank you to all those people who helped me along the way. I wouldn't have been able to make that flight without you guys. Thank you. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I am your host, Dudney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Dudney. This podcast social media pages are at @A_Negress on Twitter and at @AggressiveNegress on IG. Many, many, many thanks to my guest today, Shari Griffith. If you don't do anything else today, head over to the Soaps Atlanta IG page. That's at Soaps Atlanta, SOAPSATLANTA. Browse around a bit, see what you like, ask your questions. We've worked it out to where she'll hook you up on your first order if you use a special code just for Aggressive Negress listeners. Please share this episode, and as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And while you're here, you might as well hit that subscribe button, you know what I mean? You need to be notified whenever a new episode is available. That's a need, not a want, so just go ahead and do it. Aggressive Negress is available wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and several other platforms. So you have no excuses. Red Solo Cup cheers, and thanks again for coming to my kitchen talk. Bye.